keep your text and WhatsApps, phone calls, etc. coming in this afternoon. I'm loving hearing from you. And David Brown does note about the issue I was mentioning, a texter calling in from an area of Kildare, her daughter really affected by one driver. That's happened time and time again, the same car, you know, overtaking when other cars are coming in the opposite direction. David says, I was behind a car yesterday morning that went through two crossroads without stopping, frightening the sugar out of me, he says. Good save there, David. I like to see what you're saying. And somebody else has said about the poor internet connection in certain areas that Owen was speaking about yesterday. Grange Con, Stratford and Dunlavin area, the service is very, very bad. That's a listener in Grange Con. And of course, this was raised time and time again throughout the working at home at the beginning of the pandemic in particular, because so many people were trying to keep their lives going, even though they had to stay at home and couldn't get into their workplaces. And their internet access just was not possible where they were. It wasn't possible, I should say, to actually complete their work. And of course, here in County Kildare, we are a very populated county, a big county, and we don't have internet access in so many areas. And it's just not good enough. That NCT priority line, of course, lots of people getting in touch about that this morning. If you need to make sure you get an appointment, I'm actually going to do this after the show. I need to call. I forgot to do this the other day because I'm so stupid that I forgot twice. My mother doesn't know this. She'll give out to me when she hears this if she's listening. I forgot twice that I had NCT appointments. The last time was a couple of weeks ago. I was here in KFM, went out to John Dunn's son's car, saw the NCT on his car and looked at John and go, oh my God. And I ran inside, ran over to the NCT. Couldn't take me because I was late. Very poor on my behalf, but that priority line is 01413 5992. Now, you will remember we were speaking earlier this week about the fire that did happen on Sunday night at the Kill Equestrian Centre at an outhouse there. And on Tuesday morning, they did confirm, Naois Gardaí, to me that a technical examination had been completed there. No arrest had been made at the time. We still haven't heard anything. We know there was a residents action group that had been protesting each day, 9:30 in the morning and 7:30 in the evening there. And on Monday night, up to 30 people had gathered for a peaceful demonstration at the same location. They had also gathered on the Sunday evening at the same location, the Gardaí note, for a peaceful demonstration. But yesterday afternoon, we received an email from TD for Kildare North, Bernard Durkin of Fine Gael, about this was going to be raised in the Dáil yesterday at 6 o'clock. It's a topical issue selected by the Ceann Comhairle, who of course is Kildare South TD Sean O'Farrell. It was scheduled for discussion at 6 o'clock and it did happen. The deputy did have 4 minutes to make an initial statement, and it was in regards to the situation at Kill. And we can give you Minister Roderick O'Gorman's response here.
Just in terms of County Kildare right now, and I know there's been a great welcome there, about 2% of the total number of international protection applicants in the country reside in County Kildare. That's 450 individuals, and around 2% of the total number of Ukrainians in the country are in County Kildare, just over 1,000. In terms of movement, in terms of notice, when we are procuring new accommodation for either international protection applicants or Ukrainians, we always endeavour to provide briefings to TDs, to senators, to the local authority at official level and at councillor level. In the situation of Kill, there's no contract there yet, and it's for that reason that we haven't provided any information, because there's literally no contract to speak to. Now, I know a number of issues and concerns have been raised, and in the context of our contract negotiations, they will form part of our decision as to whether a contract is entered into or not. I know there's issues particularly around capacity and sewage, issues around flooding as well. Deputy, you spoke to, I suppose, the wider issues, the wider pressures in Irish society right now, and in terms of particularly pressures of on our housing list. And look, that's it's acute in County Kildare, it's acute in West Dublin as well. And that's why the work that Minister O'Brien is doing in the terms of the Department of Housing in rolling out Housing for All, I joined him on the Taoiseach there last week at a great launch of significant new social housing development in my own constituency, which is really positive. It's positive to see that coming online. And I know the Taoiseach and indeed Minister O'Brien are looking at new innovative ways, maybe looking at modular or rapid build or however one wants to describe it, to become part of the Housing for All solution. But solutions like what may happen in Kill and what is happening elsewhere, these are temporary accommodation. And I don't think they should be confused with the permanent accommodation solutions that we're looking to put in place for all members of the population who have a housing need, and particularly those who've been on the social housing lists for long periods of time. I'm working on the temporary accommodation element. Minister O'Brien is working on that permanent social housing accommodation element.
Okay, and lots of people, I know that was one of their main issues, was the temporary versus permanent structures. And we heard from the minister there, Roderick O'Gorman, the Minister for Integration, saying this is all about temporary. Caoimhe, you were out at one of the protests on Monday evening, wasn't it, around 7:30? And what, just remind people, I know you did catch us up on Tuesday, but remind people what exactly the residents of that group, give us the name of that group in Kill, Concerned Residents?
Yeah, Concerned Residents of Kill Action Group, I think they're going by now, Ciara. Yeah, there was about 30 people or more that turned out on Monday night. It was very wet, very, very wet. It was torrential rain. When the rain passed, they stood at the gate. The guards were there. It was very peaceful. I spoke to a couple of people. I suppose just the same sentiment. Like, Kill only has a population of about 3,500 people. If this is going ahead, and I know that Minister Roderick O'Gorman has said there is no contract as of yet, but there has been, locals say, there has been work going on at the old Kill Equestrian Centre. The proposed site could take 348 refugees, Ukrainian to start with, and then I suppose the locals are worried that this could be a permanent structure. They say it's not suitable. The sewage in system in Kill won't be able to provide the necessary, you know, support.
There the resources isn't, aren't
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And Caoimhe, one of the main things that you mentioned to me that I picked up on, and it's a great point that is made. People aren't against, you know, housing Ukrainian or any refugee in this country, in this county of Kildare. But there needs to be more focus, obviously, on the situation we know when it comes to the housing crisis for Irish residents who were born in the country, etc. And I get that argument. But also permanent housing structure, which, in fairness, the minister there, Roderick O'Gorman, did note that they're focused on as well as this temporary, because that's one of the main issues there.
A good few people there said, you know, friends of theirs, relations are on a housing list waiting to get accommodation in Kill. They haven't got it. One woman said that there's been no amenities in Kill for years. Her daughter's 22 now. They were promised, you know, a scouts club. They were promised a playground. The playground only came into action there about 5 years ago. The school in Kill is currently full. There is a couple of new residents in Kill still travelling to Talla to put their child to school there while they're working in Kildare. So these are the concerns of the residents, which, you know, I suppose are fair. But as Minister Roderick O'Gorman said, these Ukrainians, they're fleeing war. They need to be housed, and it is temporary. But what the locals in Kill are saying is that, is it actually going to be temporary, and what happens after the Ukrainian refugees leave that site?
All right, Caoimhe, great. Thank you so much for bringing us that update. Of course, Caoimhe was out there on Monday evening. And if you want more information, we have all the stories up on the kfmradio.com website in the local news section. And Ross is out there at the moment just putting together a new story about that and those stats in particular. We will have highlighted in the next few minutes on, as I said, kfmradio.com. Now, today is Adult Safeguarding Day. To let us know about it, I'm joined by the HSE Principal Social Worker. That is for HSE's CHO7, covering us here in Kildare, West Wicklow, South Dublin and West. Céline O'Connor is on the line. You're very welcome, and thank you for waiting for us there. We just had to get to that important issue. Céline, let us know what exactly Safeguarding Day is.
Well, Safeguarding Day is a day which aims to raise a greater understanding about adult abuse and safeguarding that's happening across services in the wider society. I obviously work for the HSE and the safeguarding teams, and there's 9 of those safeguarding teams dotted around the country providing cover for each CHO, and we cover Dublin South and Kildare with Wicklow, as you mentioned. So this year the emphasis is about highlighting how people can go about preventing abuse by supporting the decision making of adults, and how people can respond if they have a concern of abuse. Because one of the things that the surveys that Safeguarding Ireland have been carrying out recently is highlighting is people don't know where to go if they have a concern of abuse. And when we talk about adult abuse here, we're really talking about adults over 18 with a disability and adults over 65, so older adults. The safeguarding service and the HSC would have developed from the old HSC Elder Abuse Social Work Service.
And Celine, you're noting the nine teams there. If we focus on CHO7, what are the stats like in this area compared to the others nationwide?
So we have the highest level of reporting in this area, which I always say to people, that's not a bad thing when services and communities and people are reporting in. It doesn't mean that Kildare with Wicklow is an unsafe place to live in. It means that people are looking out and they're aware, and they're also aware that the team in the CHO exists and they make contact with us on a regular basis. We would have a team of social workers here. We have a duty service that's available Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, and we have Each CHO has their own dedicated phone number and their own dedicated email that people can make contact with us. And we would cover, a huge amount of abuse concerns, both in the community and within services. And they would be HSC and HSC funded services. And we also provide training to other services about how to spot the signs and symptoms of abuse in adults and how to report it effectively. So we have a very busy service. And again, we're very open to members of the public, the guards, public health nurses, GPs, ring us on a daily basis just to kind of tease out that somebody's come in, they've mentioned this, they're not sure if it's abuse. And sometimes, particularly where there's elements of coercive control and people have been living with abuse for a very long period of time, they're just not sure because it's become normal in their life. One of the stats that regularly shocks people is that we would, quite frequently be working with people in their 80s and 90s who've been experiencing domestic violence all of their married life. And for a lot of those older people, they feel there isn't a way out, that if they tell somebody, the shame is terrible, the cure is going to be worse than the recovery, because people might feel that they're incompetent or useless, or they may end up in residential care. But we work with people based on their will and preference, what they would like us to do. We work really hard to try reduce the risk of abuse, to stop it happening, if at all possible. But really, for a lot of adults, it is about they want to stay in their home, they want to feel safe in their home, and that's the social workers on the team will work with clients to ensure that that can happen.
Of course, anyone experiencing it is just absolutely atrocious and unacceptable, but it would really break your heart when you know those of an older age. And of course, any human, as is noted by so many psychologists, can get used to anything in life and it becomes
absolutely
the norm. And that is what is so, so sad. There's more out there for people, and that is what days like today are trying to highlight. And with that highlighting, Celine, a survey that's been carried out by Safeguarding Ireland, it sampled 1,000 adults. It was carried out by Red Sea in association with Safeguarding Ireland. 44% of adults said that they had personally experienced abuse. And time again, we speak about domestic abuse and physical abuse, sexual abuse in particular. Incredibly important. Do not get me wrong. Incredibly important. But emotional abuse, that is something that in this country and probably in the Western world has not been highlighted as much. And that's another thing Safeguarding Ireland and today as a day is trying to highlight.
Absolutely. Because, if you don't feel safe, even if somebody isn't physically hitting you or assaulting you, but they, that psychological abuse goes across all those categories, because in order for them to control you and keep you quiet, they have to psychologically and emotionally abuse you to keep the secret. And one of the things that these days do, it's about exploding that secret. When you think about child protection in the 80s and 90s, nobody believed that children were being sexually abused. They didn't believe they were being abused by teachers or clerics. And we're in that same situation with adults, that people are saying, but they're an adult, they can make a decision. Why can't they leave? They've been told how to leave. But we understand, those family dynamics, those coercive control behaviours make it very difficult for people to leave. And sometimes it takes a lot of attempts. And when you actually sit with somebody and go back through the number of attempts that they've taken to make themselves safer, to leave a relationship, you can be talking 40, 50 attempts that were thwarted in some way. And then they become more isolated because people give up on them and say, well, they haven't done anything. And that the message that we want to really give out is, please don't give up. please don't give up on yourself. Please don't give up on your brother, sister, your neighbour. There is help out there, and it sometimes takes that perseverance and that commitment that I'm here. When you're ready, I'm here. And that's the message that, you know, the HD really want to give out today about the safeguarding teams. We are here. Unfortunately, we're not an emergency service, and we're not available over the weekends. But, you know, if there's an immediate risk to life or limb, I mean, people should be ringing the guards and looking for that emergency response. Most of these abuses are crimes. I mean, and that's the very clear message. It is not just a slap. It is not just taking somebody's money. It is not taking control of their assets. These are crimes. These are thefts. These are assaults. These are, you know, humiliating people. One of the nicest letters we've ever got in this team was a thank you from a family who talked about their daughter who used to cry every day, and now she was smiling. And for us, that's the nicest letter we have ever got, because we knew the difference we had made then.
Oh, Celine, that must be such a lovely thing to receive.
It is. And you know, sometimes it's very hard to measure success in a social work service. And sometimes people are afraid of letting social workers in the door. We are not going to do anything without your will and consent. We are going to work with you. We're going to get the outcome that the person wants. And I suppose when people think about social workers, they think about child protection and those social workers having a lot of legislation and power. We don't have any adult safeguarding legislation here, so we will work with people at their pace, with their consent, and hope that we will get a plan that they feel safer and happier in their day-to-day life.
Thank you so much for chatting to me this morning. That is Celine O'Connor. Yeah. She is HSE Principal Social Worker for the HSE CHO7, covering us here in County Kildare, West Wicklow, Dublin South and West, about Adult Safeguarding Day. Of course, as Celine has noted, if you are at immediate risk of harm, the advice from everyone, including Safeguarding Ireland and the HSE, is to contact the Gardaí 999 or 112. You can respond also to adult abuse. Lift the lid on your concern by safeguarding, by contacting, I should say, the HSE safeguarding team at hse.ie/safeguarding. They also have a website, safeguardingday.ie. The main points they note here in decision making: to prevent adult abuse, respect my right to decide, making my own decisions safeguards me, and respect my choices on how I live my life. And Celine pointed out there, do not give up on somebody in your life. Keep fighting for them and keep fighting for yourself, because there's always help out there. And of course, if you need any more info, numbers, call us in here. Cuiva's on the phone, 045 898 999. Just want to give out these two lines. Women's Aid, 1800 341 900. Men's Aid, 01 554 3811. So we've been speaking about the NCT test this morning. We're noting there could be, in the newspaper review, legal issues around it. Some people taking legal issues. That's been focused on by the NCT at the moment, to see if they can avoid that, because they could be at liability, you know, people not having their roads technically, or their roads, Jeremy, their cars technically roadworthy, because their NCTs are out of date and they're unable to secure a testing time in time before it actually runs out, their previous NCT. And lads, I can't actually believe this one. A texter in here, 0833 97 97 97, they don't have their name here, but they said, you were talking about NCT tests. They wouldn't test a friend of theirs because there were dog hairs on their car seats. Is that a joke? Because there were dog hairs on their car seats. Cuiva, you'd be screwed.
Yeah, I'd be screwed. And last year, I don't know, I it must depend on the tester at the time, because I remember this time last year I brought my car over for NCT and I forgot about it. And I actually drove straight from work, and like, I'm so sorry to all the lads over in the NCT test centre in Naas, but my car was so dirty and the bottom of it was really mucky as well. So I don't know how I got in.
Yeah, you did actually say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I didn't know that. Like, in fairness, I'm actually quite clean now. Like, I always am like hoovering and everything my car. I'm a bit of a weirdo. But I have heard that they actually won't take you for certain reasons if it's dirty. But dog hairs now, I think that's a bit much.
Excessive, I think, yeah.
Dog hairs are so hard to get off.
Like, I can't get the dog hairs off my car because June is just like shedding 24/7.
Poor June. Back at home, everybody. Back at home after her little wander up in, where was it? It wasn't the Wicklow Mountains. Where was the area?
Yeah, it was the Wicklow Mountains.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was terrible. But she's back. She's
lucky
back
to be alive.
Anyway, thank you, Caoimhe, on that one. So dog hairs, what's the weirdest reason your car was refused to be testing? I know you have to take everything out of it. I think I left like hand cream in it once and one of the lads was not happy with me who was testing my car. We're going to focus on issues now in the Naas Municipal District. And I'm joined now by the Mayor of Naas, that is Evie Salmon, obviously of Fine Gael. You are very welcome this morning. How are you doing, Evie?
Good morning, Ciara. Good. How are you?
I am not too bad. Yourself and Shamie Moore partnered up on this one. You asked about the Naas Municipal District Committee writing to the Minister of State, that's for the Department of Housing, Local Government, asking to consider the removal of Bank of Ireland Main Street South in Naas from the National Inventory of Architectural Heritage. Why is that?
Yeah, so look, I don't want to get into specific planning applications in relation to this motion. It wouldn't be fair on the applicant, and because it's not a reserved function of councillors to make determinations on planning applications, I suppose it's not fair to talk about specifics. But it is it's not the Hibernian Bank building, it's the one right beside it. And I suppose we were looking to get an idea of the protection on that building. It's listed in our county development plan and then repeated in our local area plan. And we got a very comprehensive report from the council on this motion, which outlined the protection of the Bank of Ireland building on North Main Street in the National Inventory of Architectural Heritage. And the response also outlined the role of the Minister of Arts, Heritage and the Gaeltacht in the record of protected structures. So it was agreed to accept the report and not to write to the Minister. At the meeting, I asked officials if a building had ever been removed from the National Inventory of Architectural Heritage, and the officials said that to their knowledge, one was removed that had been mistakenly added in another county, and that was the only example that they were aware of. I also asked that if councillors were to delist the building in our county development plan, does it take away the protection of the building and would it allow for it to be removed? And again, the officials very clearly said that the building is part of an architectural conservation area of the whole street and that the building is on the National Inventory of Architectural Heritage. So the protection of that building still exists for it, in particular as part of the streetscape there in Naas. It exists even if it wasn't in our county development plan. So very comprehensive report.
Okay.
And I'll post it online for people.
Yeah.
There was a lot of interest around this motion, so I will post the response.
Okay, and of course we'll have those details also up on kfmradio.com. Now, Evie, granted planning applications, this is for cafes and coffee shops in Naas. You're asking about that one because it's since the adoption of the Naas local area plan. Briefly, if you wouldn't go through that for me, please.
Yeah, so look, the response had said that they weren't aware of that there wasn't any on the system, but they're actually just really difficult to find on the system. And instead of going through description, which what we would usually do, I went through specific addresses. So look, our local area plan in EDO 3.6, if anyone wants to look at it, it sets out to manage the proliferation of certain uses of development, such as fast food outlets, amusement arcades, off licenses, bookmakers and other non-retail uses. And that's in the interest of protecting the vibrancy, residential amenity and the public realm of Naas Main Street. So since the local area plan, three planning applications were granted to change retail units on the main street to coffee shops or takeaways. So I've just asked that we consider carefully any further applications that come in so that we're in line with our local area plan. And we'll be looking at how many we have on the main street to figure out, do we have an over proliferation of these businesses? And I suppose, you know, how long they're there for, if there's a turnover of the units. Like, I don't want to see any units empty, but to go from retail to non-retail isn't fair on those trying to trying to keep the vibrancy of retail businesses on the main street going as well.
And Evie, if you talk about vacancies, you are mentioning a property. It's in the NACEMD. You're asking about when it will be available for allocation. Tell me more information there.
Yeah, so they don't give out the addresses of these properties, Ciara, just so that they're not open to vandalism when they are empty. But this property locally will be ready for allocation soon. I'm satisfied that it is undergoing obligatory maintenance, and I look forward to it just being given back to a family, because it's been with the council since May, it shouldn't be in poor condition. You know, it should only take a couple of months to be turning those over and giving them back to families.
Evie, briefly, school zones, right? You asked about how they're identified in the municipal district. Then you also want to know when they are, or if it can be extended to Ballymore National School, Ballymore Eustace, that
is. Yeah, so got a really comprehensive report on this as well. And the reason I'm asking the question for Ballymore Eustace is we are growing rapidly. We have two new housing estates, both of which are either side of the primary school. Traffic has increased and we need to slow drivers down coming into the village as well. So Ballymore National School is on the Safe Routes to School programme, but it wasn't included in the first round of that programme. That programme aims to create safer walking and cycling routes within the community to alleviate congestion at school gates, which is something we definitely suffer with in Ballymore Eustace, and to increase the number of students walking and cycling by providing much needed facilities. So the improvements range from an upgraded footpath to a new cycle lane to reworking of the road outside the school entrance. And I think Ballymore probably needs both a footpath and a reworking of the road outside the school. I'll be working on bringing it forward. We had a really comprehensive report from the Transport Committee on areas that have already had kind of safe routes to school, and the plans are fantastic. So I want to see Ballymore bumped up that list and make it safer as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you so much.
Can I just say one more thing? Sorry, we agreed the Christmas parking arrangements at the NACEMD.
Yes, okay, do tell us.
So for the full month of December, there'll be free parking in all off-street car parks in Nace that are council-owned. So that's Abbey Street, Boyles, Hedermans, New Row and Fair Green. Every councillor supported this, and our retailers are doing a huge amount to encourage people to come into Mason shop, and we would like to do the same. So take advantage of the free parking and spend lots of money in Nace. And again, it's off street
council owned.
I don't want anyone getting clamped, so it's council owned car.
So just Evie, Abbey Street, Boyles, Hedermans, New Row
and Fair Green.
Fair Green. Perfect. We will put those details also up on the website. Thank you for updating me there. I'll speak to you again soon. That is Evie Salmon of Fine Gael, of course, Mayor of Nace. We were speaking about safeguarding, Adult Safeguarding Day, and 0458 98 999 is the number to reach us here. Cuiva's on the line this morning. One texter from Nace has gotten in touch, and this is very heartbreaking. We trusted my sister to look after my mother, her banking finances, etc. It was only after a few years that we found she was stealing the majority of her pension. People need to be hyper vigilant. And again, if you need any details and need to get in contact with the HSE safeguarding team, it's hse.ie/safeguarding, and it's also safeguardingday.ie website. Of course, the advice though, if you're in immediate danger or risk, call the Gardaí, 999 or 112. It's just crazy. I was noting about the NCT test, someone being refused because of the dog hairs, and somebody, or the same texter has said, it's no joke about the dog hairs. And I do know it was no joke. It's a turn of phrase I use. I say, this has to be a joke. People always say to me, no, I'm being serious. I know you are. It's the turn of phrase I use. But it's just madness when it comes to the NCT. The dog hairs. What the heck? Unless, okay, maybe I'm pushing it a bit here, but unless the people testing were maybe allergic to dogs, I don't know. That NCT priority line is 01413 5992, and we have a texter in here, Donna, saying if you could say this morning that Kill GAA Bingo is happening tonight at 8 o'clock and Eyes Down at 8:30. I have to say, Donna, I don't know what Eyes Down means. I've never played bingo. I hear it's great fun though. Never played it, so I need to know what you mean there. But it's happening at 8 o'clock in Kill GAA, the bingo, this evening for anybody who would like to go. And just in terms of local trolley figures at Nace General, this morning it has risen again. It did decrease quite a bit yesterday. It was down to 4 yesterday, and on Wednesday it was 14. But this morning, as of 8 a.m, there were 12 people awaiting beds in Nace General Hospital. 543 across Ireland's hospital system, and 7 of those nationally are children waiting on trolleys. Now, Owen Beattie, before he left for his mini break, he did catch up with Tommy Callaghan. Big weekend, of course, in terms of hurling. It's the quarterfinal in the senior and the quarterfinal in the junior. Nace and Eire O'Curraquill in action, respectively. Here the two of them are.
All right, Tommy, let's start off then with the Nace game against Shinrone of Offaly. Going to be a tough test for Nace, but this is where they want to be.
Absolutely, Owen. It's first time Nace played in the senior hurling, senior club hurling championship in Leinster. Years ago, there was no such thing as intermediate and junior. Every county winning team went into the one pot. So, I mean, whether you're from Kildare or whether you're from Kilkenny, you were all in the one Leinster club senior championship. And that was changed then a number of years ago. But now, Nace, after winning the Leinster club last year and the All-Ireland intermediate level, of course, they were put into the senior this year. And it's the place you want to be. You want to hurl with the best of them. Nace have been up and coming over the last number of years. I know they're really, really looking forward to the step up to Leinster senior club level. And it will be a test. There's no doubt in the world about that. But also, Shinrone won their title a couple of weeks ago. That was their first title ever. They were in another final already, but that was their first title. So it's a step in the unknown for Shinrone as well. And I've no doubt that hopefully we get a big crowd in Uxbridge on Saturday for what should be a cracking game.
As we've seen over the last few years, Tommy, Nace really have been the dominant force in hurling here in the county for the last 3 or 4 years. They've been doing quite well in Leinster in the intermediate grade as well. So the time has probably come, a lot of people would say, for them to move into the senior grade now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt the time has come. And I mean, Brian Byrne, the Nace captain, would be only, he'd be very quick to point out that this is what they want. They want to be up there. They want to mix it with the big boys. I mean, they've defeated everybody else. They want to see how will they fare out against the so-called stronger counties. And while Offaly might be as strong as they were a number of years ago, they're still they're looked upon as a stronger hurling county than Kildare. There's no doubt that Brian Burnham and the rest of them, James Burke, Jack Sheridan, Cormac Gallagher, I mean, you can go through the whole lot of them, one after the other. There's a lot of very good hurlers in that. The one thing I would have a little bit of worry about is that the only one out since this defeated Minute in the Kildare County Final, that was back in September. That's a fair while ago. Now, I've no doubt the manager has been training them and have been playing challenge matches and everything else. Even their in-house matches will be very strong as well. But it's not the same as championship, you know. It's no matter how you prepare. As I think I said it only last week, the first match in the Leinster club, hurling and football, is always the vital one to get over. Then you can kick on from there. So it'll be interesting to see how Nace can they pick it up after a gap of 5 or 6 weeks without a competitive game.
Yeah, I was looking there at Shinrone as well. As you say, they won the Senior Hurling Championship this year, of course. They were Intermediate Hurling Championship winners in 1932, 57, 91 and 2020. And they won Junior A titles back in the 20s and 50s, but also recently in 2012 and 2018. So they might be at a fairly similar level to Nace coming in now and stepping up to that Senior Championship. But also, Tommy, I was looking ahead to see who Nace could possibly play in the semi-final, Ballyhale Shamrocks in Croke Park, maybe.
Yeah, that's a possibility. If they win, probably will be there because that match will be in Croke Park. That's another thing that Nace would really relish, not alone to get back into Croke Park, but to be up against probably one of the greatest club teams we've seen for a long number of years. So that's another incentive to get over the line on Saturday. But I've no doubt that the Nace management and indeed the players are not looking beyond Saturday by any stretch of the imagination. But the opportunity is there for them. If they can get over Shinrone and I'd say going into this match, they'd be quite confident that they have more than a squeak, you know. I mean, they're a good team. We've seen them. I mean, we've spoken on this programme for going back a good few years now about the level of commitment and work that has gone into the SGAA, both hurling and football, but particularly at the hurling level. I mean, they're underage player teams now compete in Kilkenny at under 16 level and compete very well, and up to minor level and compete very well in league titles down there. And that's where the flow is coming from. It's that the foresight that lads had a number of years ago now in the club at Naas, and that's where they find themselves now up on loan. And they've been looked upon now as around a lot of time teams from outside of Kildare. It's only a Kildare team, but I think that's changing now. Christy Ring has done well for Kildare. Kildare has done well in the Christy Ring, and Naas have done well at all levels now. So now we're at the high level now, in the senior club. And as I say, it'll be very, very interesting to see. And another thing, of course, now you're going into winter hurling. I think winter football is probably worse for the hurlers. That's inclined to bring the gap down, even though I didn't bring it down last week too well for the footballers. But that changes the speed of the game, slows down a small little bit with the weather, and hopefully we get a decent fine day. The surfing in Collins Park is always excellent, so don't worry about that. As I say, everybody's gearing up now for the game. And I've no doubt Shane Rowan are geared up for it as well, and they're looking forward to coming to Newbridge and equally looking forward to winning and maybe they taking on the Kilkenny champions in the semi-final.
Yeah, throw in on Saturday is at 1:30, and we'll have updates of that game between Naas and Shinrón with Seamus Dillon. Not the only Kildare side in action though, Tommy, at the weekend. Aero Curraquil, they're playing in the Leinster Junior Championship against Horswood of Wexford.
Yeah, this game is a recent fixture of Wexford Park. You see, it's moved to Ennis Gardaí now, and unfortunately, of course, it's at the same time, 1:30 throw-in for both games. There's no light, so that's the reason for that. This is a difficult one to call. Aero Curraquil, they had a very good win over Shamrocks last day out. That was in Hawkwood. I was at that match. Aero were winning very easily in that game. In the end, they were struggling a little bit at the end. They played well overall. They played well, and their manager, Stuart Cleason, was very, very upbeat about them after the match. He's had a lot of confidence in them. They have put in an enormous amount of training sessions. But between matches, well, 130 or something, 130, 135 training sessions and matches as well throughout this season. So he's very confident that they'll more than put up their own. Travelling, of course, is always not the best way. Home matches are very important at this level, but that's the way the draw came out. It will be a tough one on them. It will be a tough one on them. They won the Senior B this year. First time Kildare had a Senior B championship. They were favourites to win it. They went through one defeat and now got over the first round. So I mean, they'll be looking forward to some of the top players, in particular the likes of Paul Dolan there. He scored, I think it was 8 points the last day. Kevin Connor is a great dual performer, very good footballer, come hurler. Paul Dermody in goal. Paul's carrying a shoulder injury now over the last number of weeks. And he got through the last game okay, but I remember Stuart Gleeson saying that they were holding back one of their subs in case they needed to meet with Paul. So hopefully Paul will be fit enough, because the kind of experience that he brings to our team, not alone just standing in the goal, but I mean the encouragement, and he's a great leader of the game too, a vital man in the Aero Curraquil defence.
All right, that one again is at 1:30. Tomorrow we'll have updates of it, but let's first of all hear from the Aero Curraquil manager, Stuart Gleeson.
Yeah, tough challenge. Yeah, look, you have to beat them to win it. So look, we're confident going into it. We'll have a look, see what they're like, who they've beaten, etc., etc. But we have the players, we have the panel. Just have to put, we've 2 weeks of hard work to do now. So I'm confident every player I have, yeah, and panel.
Yeah, just a little tidbit of information there, Tommy. I saw that Tadhg Furlong, the Ireland rugby player, is from that area. He played hurling for Horswood back in his youth and played football for them as well. So that's where he hails from. That game at 1:30 tomorrow, as is Naas against Shinrón. And we'll have updates of both of them across the afternoon. Tommy Callaghan, sports editor of the Leinster Leader, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Owen.
Yeah, the two lads there about this weekend's games. And we have a texter here, 0833 97 97 97, asking about where is the parking for the match on Saturday. And as a Newbridge person, woman, whatever you may want to word me as, it's everywhere in Newbridge. That's where the parking is. Absolutely everywhere. So get down as early as possible is always my advice. And you'd be surprised, maybe I'm giving away a secret here, but the actual parking right beside St Conlett's, when you go in, even like 5-10 minutes before the match, there's a load of free spaces. Normally, I notice there is. We have a request here. Kildare South Shamrocks, their under 12 hurling team, they're playing in, they are playing a thigh, I should say, in the under 12 Division 3 final. That's on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Very exciting. It's in Hawkfield. It's on pitch 2. It's an amalgamation of Kilcullen, Athgarvan, and 2 Mile House. And best of luck to all the boys there. Come out and support the three clubs in keeping hurling alive and thriving in the corner of Kildare. And since we are shouting out people across this county and in general, I need to shout out my three amazing cousins, a very proud big cousin here. I want to shout out Grace Shannon, Kate Shannon and Cara Shannon, 11, 13 and 15 this coming Sunday, because they are in the LDFA Intermediate Leinster Final. They are for Slashers of Longford. They are playing Screen of Me, that's at 1 o'clock in Kinnegad on Sunday. I'm so excited for them. They're all amazing, and hopefully they can do it, girls. So proud of you, my little babies. I'm so proud of them.